In Germany, the people of the new Weltstadt, the world cities, could encounter the Naturvolk in popular Volkesschauen, the people shows. Some took place in circuses or even zoos, others in the ever-popular panopticons, the seals. Specialists like Karl Hagenbach, who had made his fortune trapping and exporting exotic animals, and is considered by many to be the father of the zoo, supplied living specimens of the exotic races to the panopticons. Human exhibits displayed in Germany in the late 19th century included people from Sudan, North America, the Pacific Islands, Somalia, and Lapland. Today, when a stroll through most European or American cities involves encounters with members of most of the races of the earth, the appeal of the 19th century Volkesschauen is difficult to understand. But in the racially monotone Europe of the 19th century, they were a sensation. The more established Volkesschauen sought to maintain a semblance of respectability and distinguish themselves from the backstreet freak shows by evoking the legitimacy of science. Before German race scientists began to travel to the colonies themselves, the Volkesschauen offered them access to a steady stream of human subjects to examine and measure. The proprietors of the Volkesschauen could then assure their audiences that their living exhibits had been authenticated by men of science. They could even claim that their shows, in some small way, were contributing to scientific progress. In the summer of 1896, an event took place that was to eclipse all the traditional German Volkesschauen and offer German race scientists an unprecedented opportunity to advance their studies. The Berlin Colonial Show was a joint venture between the government's colonial department and the Colonial Society, whose patron was Kaiser Wilhelm's close friend, the Prince Hohenlohe. With both royal patronage and state support, it was destined to be a spectacular affair. But what made it a true sensation was that more than 100 colonial subjects from across the whole of the German Empire were recruited for the event. It was envisaged as a human zoo placed in the very heart of the Empire. There, all the races over whom the Kaiser claimed dominion could be viewed in their natural and primitive state. The exhibits were to be housed in a series of specially built and ethnologically authentic native villages within an enclosure in Berlin's Treptow Park. According to an official report, the event transplanted a piece of natural savagery and raw culture to the centre of a proud and glamorous metropolis with its refined morals and fashion-conscious people. It was both a celebration of Germany's new empire and a chance for the Berlin bourgeoisie to revel in the sheer excitement of their nation's colonial adventure. Even before they had left the colony, a clash of wills between the German organisers and the Southwest Africans had begun. The Herero and Witboi-Nama refused to embark for Germany until a formal contract had been signed with Governor Theodor Leutwein. When they finally arrived at Hamburg, it was clear that the racial expectations of the German public and the proud independence of the Southwest Africans were completely at odds. Most of the Herero and all of the Witboi men wore European-style military uniforms, bandoliers and sidearms. The Witboi wore hats with the characteristic white bandanas. Those in civilian clothes wore European suits, revealing that they were just as fashion-conscious as the people of Berlin. The women wore bodice dresses with puffed sleeves and fashionable floral patterns. They were evidently not the pieces of natural savagery described in the official report. Frederick Maharero, the son of Samuel Maharero and the grandson of Chief Chihuahua, was particularly well attired in a fashionable black felt blazer, crisp white shirt and colourful silk bow tie. Like the other Herero, he was tall, young and strikingly handsome. Yet it was not merely the clothes of the Southwest Africans that shocked the organisers. The decision to recruit only from the local elites meant that the exhibits were educated and accustomed to being treated with respect. Petrus Jord, the nephew of Hendrik Witboi, was a particularly profound challenge to German racial expectations. He was a schoolteacher who spoke eloquent High Dutch and carried a copy of the Bible at all times. When the Herero and Nama arrived in Berlin, officials demanded they abandon their Western clothes and dress in more genuine attire. They were especially disturbed by the fact that the Southwest African men and many of the Cameroonian men wore trousers, which they believed would undermine the authenticity of the entire colonial show. When German ethnographers supplied them with authentic African clothes, they refused to wear them. The devout Petrus Jord argued that it would be against his Christian beliefs to wear what he called heathen clothing. As the spread of the Gospels was one of the supposed achievements of German colonialism, none of the organisers could come up with an effective counter-argument, so Petrus and the others remained in their neat Victorian suits, including the trousers. Similarly, the Herero kept their hats and Boer-style military uniforms. Despite lacking in authenticity, the Herero and Witboi were the high point of the exhibition when it opened. The official purpose of the show was to expose the unbridgeable gap between the savage and cultured peoples. But Frederik Meherero, Petrus Jord, and their colleagues seemed living proof of how successfully that chasm had been breached. The gentlemen and ladies of Berlin, whose notions of what Africans looked like and how they might behave had been gleaned from the turgid prose of the explorers, peered intently across a barrier at human exhibits who wore identical suits, starched white shirts, and fashionable summer dresses. These savages sat peacefully reading their Bibles or stared back at them. Some members of the Southwest African delegation, such as the Herero Josaphat Kamatoto, could not only speak Dutch, but were also fluent in German, and could converse across the fence with the visitors who had come to marvel at the primitive habits of their African subjects. To the utter horror of the organisers, the dapper dress, good looks, and one presumes conversational skills of the young African men from the Southwest began to attract the attention of the women of Berlin. The 22-year-old Frederik Meherero, in particular, found himself the focus of much attention and began to flirt shamelessly. Worse still, the women flirted back. Years after the show, when Frederik was back in Southwest Africa, love letters from his Berlin admirers continued to arrive in the colony. They were intercepted and confiscated by the missionaries, and Frederik never received his fan mail.